Good morning. We'll continue our study in the Westminster Confession of Faith, looking at chapter 10, section 1, which is about effectual or effective calling. Let me read that and then discuss it with you. All those whom God has predestined unto life, and those only he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call by his word and spirit, out of that state of sin and death in which they are by nature, to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone and giving them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills, and by his almighty power, determining them to that which is good, and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ. Yet, so as they come most freely, being made willing by his grace. Chapter 10, section 1 begins its discussion of effectual calling by reminding us that there is such a thing as predestination. The emphasis here and in other places in the Bible is on God's wise choice, on God's predestining and gathering a people for himself in Christ. But here the confession also echoes the clear language of Romans chapter 8, where we're told that all those whom God predestined, he also called. Indeed, the main topic of this paragraph is that divine calling. All people hear some calls, every human being. Here's the whole of creation calling us to praise our good God. All men and women cannot help but hear their consciences calling us to repent as day after day we do not praise God as he ought to be praised. And whenever we gather to hear the word of God read and preached, we hear another call. It's the call of the word knocking on the doors of our hearts with the gospel. Well, each of these calls is significant in its own way, but this paragraph of following Romans 8 has a different call in view. Here, what is in focus is God's ever-effective call to life issued to his chosen people at his pleasure and in his good time. The effectual call of God, of course, is heard louder, clearer than any other call. It is the call that not only knocks on the doors of our hearts, but unlocks them and opens our hearts. As we consider this call of God, it seems to me that we always end up considering God himself. For why else is this call effective, except for the fact that it's God's call. It's God who chooses us, and God himself is the one whom we hear. It is God using his word and spirit to call us to himself. The effectual calling of God is always effective because in the appointed and accepted time, the Holy Spirit takes the word of God. He takes those other calls and he sends them straight to our hearts. And that is why, as Paul considers this, he says, we are bound to give thanks to God for what we see in one another. As Paul tells the Thessalonians, from the beginning, God chose you to be saved. And he did so by his Spirit, he says, and through his truth. And the truth that Paul has in view is the grand and beautiful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that gospel that reaches us so that we might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's no work like the Spirit's work. And no word like God's word. For you see, at just the moment when the Holy Spirit confronts us by and with his word, he also begins to write into our lives. In a very real sense, even as we are hearing the Spirit's call by his holy word, the word of God tells us that each Christian actually becomes a word from God for others to hear. That's what we read in God's letter through Paul to the Corinthians and to us. We discover that each Christian is a fresh epistle from Christ, addressed to the world. Our lives are letters written, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. And of course, we need this word written into our lives. We need the Spirit to write on us, and we need God to make us into something unto which He can write. We need Him to erase our sin and the sentence of death that we now inherit as part of our fallen nature. And we need this as much as we need Him to write His graces into our lives and to write into the book of life that we are His and that He is ours. The point that I'm trying to make is that the effectual call of God is like no other call. For His voice is like no other voice. We know what God's voice can do, what His word can do. We see this at creation. He spoke and it was done. Here too, even as God speaks to us, He does something. He takes us from our hopeless state of sin and death, and He brings us into an endless state of grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. And the Westminster Divines are making very clear here that without this calling, our ears would still be blocked and our wills would be unwilling to receive the gospel. We need the Spirit of life in order to deliver us from spiritual death, as Ephesians 2 tells us. We need the Spirit of life in order to deliver us from death, and we need the Spirit's calling if we are to benefit from the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. As stated plainly, no man or woman or child will ever enter heaven without the effectual calling of God the Holy Spirit on earth. You see, it's this effectual call by the Spirit that is used to enlighten our minds or open our eyes spiritually and savingly. Again, we might wonder how a call from God can actually change us. How is it that the call of the Spirit helps us to understand the things of the Spirit and to search them out? How is this call made effectual? Well, I think we find the answer to that in Scripture. It's because the Spirit does not merely call us, but in calling us, He comes to us. In the Apostle Paul's word, we actually receive the Spirit. We receive Him, and He never leaves us. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us, Paul says. And is that hard to understand? Well, of course it is. But we can pray. We can pray with Paul that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the Spirit of wisdom. And then the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. And then we will know the hope to which He has called us. Then too, we'll see what God's call does for the human mind. We'll see that what God's call does for the human mind, it also does for the human heart. We know what it's like to have a heart of stone. What it's like to have this sad and heavy fact pressed upon us. But what is that to God? He can lift our spirits. And more than that, as God once prophesied through Ezekiel, He said, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God gives understanding to our minds and love to our hearts. And while He is renewing our hearts and our minds, He also renews our will. By His almighty power, He sends us on a path towards all that is good. He effectively draws us to the personification of goodness in Jesus Christ. And even as God draws us, we find that we are coming most freely, being made willing by His grace. Well, let us pray this morning that God will make sinners in this building, in this room, willing, freely willing to come to Him by His grace and to His glory. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to You this morning, and how grateful we are that we find ourselves coming to You, because we know that this is all of Your grace. It is You who call us to worship You every day. And it is You who called us out of our sin and death into life and salvation through Jesus Christ and by the power of Your Spirit. We pray that what You have done for us, that You would do for others. We pray that You would continue to open the storehouses of Your great treasures of grace and pour out blessings upon those who worship with us this very day. Do this, we pray, by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.